Thank you.
I'd like to bring to you our beloved Sheikh. You have done some institutional da'wah over the years, of course in the college and university setting, but also you've been known to give da'wah in the correctional setting or the prison setting. Can you explain to us?
Wait a minute. Do you have any evidence for what you just said? Is there any proof?
As we were saying, you know, when I met Sheikh Youssef in 1999, I met him in Springfield, Virginia, at an organization called the Islamic Foundation, mashallah. And, you know, working with the prisons myself, I'm constantly looking for sources, for resources, literature, Qurans, you know, hadith, and so on. And so the Islamic Foundation appeared to be one noteworthy source. And so when I met him, and by the way, I think he was like the third imam or prison chaplain of that organization in 3 years. So I said, something's up here, as they've gotten rid of two very quickly, and here he was sitting there. So when I met him, he said, oh yeah, we got books. We got Qurans and hadith. And he showed me the room, the warehouse, and the books were packed up to the ceiling. And I'm saying, alhamdulillah, we've fallen on a treasure. And so he said, yeah, go get a truck. I'll never forget. He told us to go get a truck. And wallahi, we went back to the Department of Corrections in South Carolina. They let us use a truck.
You came with two trucks.
We got a truck from North Carolina and South Carolina.
That's right.
So in the North Carolina Department of Corrections and the South Carolina Department of Corrections, we drove to Virginia and we loaded up. I'll never forget it. MashaAllah, it was a blessing for us that day when we met Sheikh Youssef. But then as we were in the warehouse and we were loading up and taking inventory and counting up what we were getting, yes, the director came in and says, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, I tried to disappear, but it just wasn't working. And the Sheikh says, well, they're getting books for the prisons. You said this is for the prisons, so we're giving it to the prisons. And the director said, but we've got 48 more states. And so shortly after that, we lost our connection at the Islamic Foundation. And to this day, I feel guilty. I really do. I feel guilty that maybe we had something to do with his absence from that organization. But alhamdulillah, he's continued to work in a good way in the cause of the da'wah, and he's gone on to work with the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, and of course now he is with IslamTomorrow.com. Did you know this guy used to wrestle bears? I'm going to tell you how I found out. One day, we were at Fort Jackson. Fort Jackson is the largest Army basic training facility in the country. And we invited the Sheikh down. By the way, alhamdulillah, we've been doing the da'wah at the fort for a number of years until just recently. And we had the opportunity to invite the Sheikh down and to speak to the trainees. And mashallah, some days we would have as many as 35, 50 basic trainees all over the country. Young, green, behind the ears recruits. Some days we would have as many as 100 trainees in the room. And I think the day that you were there, there was that many. And of course he did a broadcast, just like we're doing. But one day he told the audience that he used to wrestle bears. And he had never told me that, but I was absolutely stunned. I said, boy, this guy really is from Texas.
Meaning what? Meaning either he used to do it or he's full of it.
Sheikh, I have another question.
Hot air is what I meant, by the way.
What is the best way for the Muslims to convey this truth to the society, to the non-Muslim society?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, Rasulullah.
The question when you ask what's the best way for Muslims to convey the message to a non-Muslim society, this is a very loaded question. It needs a lot. Most of you, though, most of the Muslims here have heard at least some extent about the fact that you have to be a good Muslim to show what a good Muslim is, and that's true. Additionally, you've heard it said that you have to have more knowledge. Again, true. True. We need more knowledge. But don't let that stop you from beginning. We've also heard that you have to know something about the people that you're speaking to. And again, that's true. That's true. But I want to share with you something else that usually is not touched on by those who are the scholars for us, who give us these beautiful books, libraries, volumes, you know, full of information. Yet they're always missing that one key ingredient. What's the spark that makes it work? What's the spark of life that makes people walk up to you and within a half hour they're standing there saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah. What is it? Well, actually, it's all of the things that I just mentioned and one more thing. That's your connection with Allah. Because when you really, really love Almighty God more than anything else, then those who are searching for Him will see that light in you. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect. In fact, we're not. But when you really love Allah, then you will love the human beings that He created. Not the same way you would love your mother. Not the same way that you would love your wife. Not the same way that you would love other Muslims. But you will love them at least in a way to realize that these are your brothers. And these are your sisters in humanity. And we are all from Bani Adam. Sons and daughters of Adam. And Allah didn't put you here to be over them in the sense that just because I'm a Muslim, I'm better than anybody else. Because Allah clearly stated in the Quran, the only thing that makes you look any better to Allah is your piety, your taqwa. That's all. And the fact that you have a Muslim name isn't it. So when people feel you're for real, that's a very important thing. And you can't do that by being phony. So don't worry about reading books on salesmanship to learn how to sell Islam to the people. Because it'll never work. Never. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, wasn't given sales courses and seminars on how to win friends and influence people. I was trying to remember the name of that book. How to win friends and influence people. No, not at all. He was being himself. He was being himself. And you have to be yourself. You have to be honest, of course, kind, considerate. If you're humorous, be yourself. And people pick up on that and they will appreciate that. They will appreciate your integrity and your honesty and your openness. Because we do have a lot of great, wonderful people in this country. They just don't know how great they are yet. But when they get Islam, they'll be even greater. This is my contention. And if they don't want Islam, but they're at least comprehending it in the truth, then at least they will be, what? Better allies. Huh? And this is something that would bring about a beautiful, beautiful situation for all of us. So I'm saying that as far as I'm concerned, there are many people much more qualified to talk to you about what makes a good da'i, caller to Islam, such as I said, a lot of knowledge and a lot of character and a lot of self-improvement and so on. But one thing don't forget about is your connection with Allah. And what the big scholars of this da'wah told me, they said you give da'wah. What is da'wah, by the way? It's invitation, as simple as that. It's invitation to invite to the right. Invite. That's all you're doing. So you give this da'wah, imitation in the day, and then you get up in the night and you give du'a, which means what? Supplicate to Allah and cry and ask Him to guide the people. Because it's up to Allah, not up to you. But you can plant your seeds in the day And then you can water them with the tears in the night. And may Allah save all the people from that fire of hell. Ameen. May Allah guide all of us. Ameen.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. At this time, we would like to allow the audience to put forth any questions that you may have. We have some sheets of paper that you can write your questions down.
Would you prefer to take questions?
Yeah, we have some questions already. I'm ready to pick up where we left off if they want. And then they can send up any others. I got one. Don't you remember what happened? We're broadcasting. Talk.
Yes. We'd like to remind our listening audience that we're broadcasting from the Ohio State University campus in Columbus, Ohio. This is your host, Mutahir Sabri, all the way from Columbia, South Carolina, with our beloved Sheikh Yusuf Estes. And we would like to take this opportunity to thank the Muslim Students Association of the university for their gracious hospitality in having us here this week. We have some questions that the Sheikh has been asked, and he's going to proceed with them, inshallah ta'ala.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. The questions I'd like to pick up with are right where we left off when we were at the program yesterday. Some of you were there, perhaps you knew that we didn't get to answer all the questions. I will try to take a couple of those real quick while you prepare your questions now and get them up to us as quick as you can, because then we'll be able to pick up from there. Mutahir here will read the questions to me, so you can go ahead and give them to him. Somebody can bring them up to the brother here, and then he'll bring them over to Mutahir. And where I left off was, there was a question about Jesus in Islam that I really wanted to give proper time to. I didn't want to just throw out a quick answer, because I really, that's a big, big subject to me. And actually it could be a seminar, because I love this subject. They were asking, who is the Jesus of Islam, and do you believe that he died on the cross? And there were some other references to the passion, what's it called, the something passion?
What's the name?
Yeah.
Passion of Christ.
Passion of Christ. Passion of the Christ. Yeah. So, as far as we are concerned, as Muslims, the teaching in Islam, there is someone who has the name Isa in the Arabic language. Isa. Not Jesus. But the word Jesus does not appear in the old Bibles either, because it didn't exist until there was English. Okay? That's an English word. That's Latinizing, actually, the word Yeshua. Okay, just to get that straight. If you read any Arabic Bible, there are a lot of Arab Christians. How many of you know there are Arab Christians? Okay, you know that. And these people read in the Arabic language, and in their book, they have somebody named Isa. And they say that's the same one that is being called Jesus in English. So I'm going to refer to that as a source of proof. Also, in their book, how many of you ever seen an Arabic Bible? Anybody? Okay. Page 1, Arabic Bible, book of Genesis, 17 times it says Allah, 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 Allah. So who are they calling God? Allah. And this is a name that existed long before the word God ever existed. So actually, I'm answering 3 or 4 questions at the same time here that came up. I'm trying to blend them together. But when it comes to Jesus, we say Isa is the one mentioned in the Quran. And the one mentioned in the Quran comes to his mother, which is Maryam. Now, if you think that's Mary, then that's what I think. But I'm just telling you so you can understand where Muslims are coming from. He comes to her and he's born from her in a miracle way, because she has no husband and no man has ever touched her. And she's a very young girl, by the way. Very young girl. The angel comes to her and tells her she's going to have a baby, and she's wanting to know, how is that that it could be that I would have a baby and no man has touched me? And by the way, she's telling the angel, stay back away from me too. If you fear God, stay away from me. But she's scared. She said, what are you talking about, coming up to me talking like that? Can you imagine that? How is that going to be, she said. And the angel told her, for Allah, it's very easy. Whenever He wants anything to happen, He just says, kun fayakun, be, and it is. And that's what happened. By the word of Almighty God, she conceived. And she gave birth. And that was Isa. And from the time he was born, until the time he was raised up, till the time he dies, is brought back again, he says himself, Salam, peace be upon me. This is the Isa that we know. We know our Isa that we're talking about was challenged by some people who were giving him a horrible time. And he had a great passion for these people. He preached to them. Well, of course, they didn't listen, which is normal. That's very normal. People don't like to listen to be corrected, do they? And then, an amazing thing happens, though. God tells us in the Quran, they didn't kill him. Neither did they salib him. They didn't crucify him, but rather, Allah put the likeness of him on somebody else, and that person went to the cross instead. That's what it says in the Quran. It's amazing what one Christian told me. He said, I think that's horrible. I said, what? Aren't you happy Jesus didn't die? He's with God. He's coming back. This is what we believe. He said, no, I think it's horrible that you think that an innocent person could go to the cross for somebody else. I said, no, that's not my religion that teaches that. My religion didn't teach that an innocent man went to the cross, just a man who looked like him, who very much was guilty of something, or Allah would have never put him there to start with. Could it have been the one who sold him out? Possibly. Could it have been one of those who was trying to kill him and killed some of his companions? Possibly. But Allah knows best what He does. And Allah is never unfair or unjust. But we never said that an innocent man went to the cross. That's not our religion. That's somebody else's. The passion of Christ in Islam is beautiful. It's very beautiful. Because He had great passion, a great passion to tell the truth, and a great passion to sell this message that there's only one God and you have to worship Him on His terms if you're going to be successful. That's the Isa that we have in the Quran. So that answers that question. And if you say, well, I don't like that, well, I didn't ask you to like it. I didn't ask you that at all. What I did was answer your question. And I told you, as far as I know, as much what it says in Quran in translate to English at least. But for sure, if you don't accept what I just said, please go to somebody that knows Arabic better than me and sit with them till you know the Arabic language and you can sit and read it like I do. That's what it looks like anyway. Alhamdulillah. What we got next?
If there are Muslims who don't pray, but they are caring human beings, how should we behave with them?
If there are Muslims that don't pray, but they're caring human beings, how should we behave with them? Well, first of all, if they're Muslims and they don't pray, how can they say they're Muslims and they don't pray? Let's define what is the word Islam. Islam means to do what God wants you to do on His terms. Is that true or false? Submission, surrender, and obedience. Is that what it means? Yes or no? So if you walk, you're a walker. If you talk, you're a talker. If you think, you're a thinker. And if you stink, you're a stinker. But if you don't Islam, you're not a Islam. Because that's what Muslim means, one who Islams. If you said, I'm a Muslim, but I don't pray. I'm a Muslim, but I don't fast. I'm a Muslim, but I don't pay charity. I'm a Muslim, but I don't make the pilgrimage. I'm a Muslim, but I say, I got it, we've got it. You're a Muslim, but when you get the rest of the parts, come on back. When you got the whole anatomy, head, legs, arms, you got, okay, you figured it out yet? Still got folks laughing over there. Okay. Hey, I got it. He said, okay. Next question.
What is the Islamic perspective on voting in the upcoming November presidential elections?
Hold it. This is not a joke. This is not a joke. It's probably the most serious, best answer I've got for you tonight is this answer. You want to know what's the Muslim perspective on the upcoming election in the United States of America? I'd like to share with you what I think. I think every Muslim who is a citizen of the United States, who takes benefit from those benefits here in this country, has an obligation to vote. That's what I think. How do you take from a source and you don't pay back? You have to pay your taxes in this country. And if you don't think you owe any taxes in this country just because you're a Muslim, then go somewhere else. Because you're taking benefits from here and you owe. And Allah will, don't think you're going to get around something. That's that old deal of playing two ends and saying the end justifies the means. It doesn't. If you're taking benefits in this country and that includes just living here, then you owe and you pay. That's fair. Muslim pays his own way, yes or no? Not free rides. And second is the voting. That's a right, but it's also the duty of every American citizen to vote. And in the local elections, you need to know who the people are that are running and vote for who you think can do the best job according to what Islam teaches. And if there isn't anybody that can do that job, then there's something I thought of that would work. And many times you might say, well, I don't see anybody there that's really fit for the job. Well, you could always volunteer for it. But when it comes to the presidential election, this is different. And you asked me particularly about that. I was just talking about elections, especially local, like city elections, county elections. If Muslims would really vote, then the politicians would be afraid of losing, because they really only have about a 5 or 6% of the United States that vote. But when it comes to the national election, nobody can elect the president with their individual votes. It doesn't work that way. How many of you thought this was a democracy? Please raise your hand. The United States is a democracy. Raise your hand up so I can see them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Come on, get. Don't you know where you live? Is this a democracy? Yes or no? Or is it not a democracy? How many say this is not a democracy? Never was. Well, let's find out. We're about half and half here. Let me see. Always Muslims have to know what's the dalil. What's the source? What's the proof? Huh? Okay, you have to have some document, don't you, to look at. Let me think. Help me out, guys. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic. Oops. The what? The democracy or the republic? So this is called a republican form of government. It is not a democracy. Ooh. But Mr. Bush said, oh, well, maybe Mr. Bush didn't know. But he said we're spreading democracy everywhere. Yes, we are. That's true. Oh yeah, we're spreading a lot of things everywhere. But we're sure not letting anybody else have a Republican form of government, nor are we letting them have an Islamic form of government. Okay? Let's get the story straight. Okay? You shall know the truth. Mm-hmm. Think about it. So this is important for you to realize. When you're here in this country, you need to know where you are and what you're doing. When it comes to the presidential election, no single vote's going to make a bit of difference, because the Electoral College decides who's the president, not you. And you can vote until you turn green, and it won't affect anything. But what you can do with that vote in the presidential election, and I've asked the Muslims to listen, and they just laugh me off. They say, oh, no, he's just a funny old sheikh. I got news for you. Some of what I say might just be real. If the Muslims of this country, even a fraction, even if only 5 million Muslims showed up to vote, and that's it, even 3 million showed up to vote in the presidential election, and where it says president, you go to the write-in candidate and just write the word Muhammad, nothing else. That will be all over the news, all over the world, and you'll make so much dawah in one heartbeat, you will never believe what will happen tomorrow. Because every other candidate for every other office in the next election will be out there trying to get the Muslim vote. That's a fact. But can you change who's going to be president? No. You don't have that kind of effect. But Allah does. So you should be praying every night for Allah to guide all these leaders. This is important. Pray to Allah to guide leaders of all the countries. Because as it stands right now, there is no Islamic country on earth. There are Muslim countries, plenty of them, with a lot of great Muslims, but no Islamic country since 1922. So please, by the way, don't blame Islam for what's going on in these countries. It's the lack of Islam that's causing the problem. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, if you're frustrated with that answer, I'm going to tell you, we all need to think before we speak. And I've thought this one through many, many, many times. And this is the answer. If you're going to live here, be responsible. If you say, well, I don't like those answers, I don't like this and I don't like that, brother, the same plane that brought you over will take you back. Hello? So stop trying to play both ends against the middle. Let's be real. I know there's problems with that. I realize. I saw some of your faces. Okay. By the way, that was only an opinion.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We have 5 minutes and 11 questions, so that roughly comes out to about 30 seconds per answer.
You got it. Shoot them fast. Here we go.
Okay. Number one, I work for Homeland Security in the state of Ohio. My friends think
quit
as soon
job,
as...
Next.
Okay. I met a Christian woman, and she is a good Christian woman. We
quit
decided...
Quit your job. Next.
You got that, right? Okay.
Quit you, that job.
You said pay taxes even though the money is sent to support ones fighting the Muslims in other countries.
Okay, hold it. Somebody here has got... I want you to take the cotton out of your ears. Okay? I did not say that. You go back, and we're recording this here and here and here. I have three recorders. And if you heard this statement... Pray to Allah to guide you or to open up your ear canal for you, because I did not say this. And if you heard what I said and you twisted this on purpose, pray to Allah to guide you before I get a hold of you and show you how I used to wrestle bears. Because you're a fitness-seeking person. You said pay taxes even though the money is sent to support the ones fighting Muslims in other countries, especially the Middle East. Did I say that? Did anybody hear me say that? I said if you come over here and you take from the tree, put back what you took. That's what I said. Now, I don't like it when non-Muslims misquote me. But I like it even less when a Muslim misquotes me. I threatened to sue Susan Schmidt of the Washington Post, and I put it on tape. And she never quoted a word I said, by the way. But I'll do the same here. If I can't beat you one way, I'll beat you another. But don't you ever misquote me, I didn't say that. I said pay your taxes because you're taking benefit here. And as the minute you don't want the benefits, fine, don't pay the taxes. But you're here, you are in a country that's protecting your butt.
Go somewhere else and find out what happened to you if you grow a beard this long. Go to Tunisia. Go to Egypt. And find out what will happen to you. You're in the last place on earth where you can come and practice religion and talk like that without being arrested and disappear for 15 years. So don't come in here and put words in my mouth. Sorry. Next. Yeah, I was saying, whoops, I cut me off. I was saying that I got an email from a Christian who became Muslim, and they said, I used to be a born again, and I used to get these feelings inside of me, and I used to say things, and people would say, how did you know that? Nobody could know that but me, but all of a sudden you're telling me things, so it must be from God. But this person said, I never really felt like it was from God, but I didn't know what to do. I was just saying what I was hearing, and I was feeling stuff inside of me. What was it? I didn't have time to answer them, but how many of you ever heard of jinn possession? Okay, thank you very much. They need a good exorcism. Okay? I'm serious. If you got something going on inside of you, either get an exorcism or an enema.
Yeah.
This is a pretty easy question. You mentioned Burger King earlier. What is your opinion and stance on the consumption of non-Zabiha meat and why?
I mentioned Burger King. Did I say we ate burgers? What'd we eat?
Fish.
What?
Fish.
Stomach. Stomach for the stomach.
Alhamdulillah.
I didn't say we ate that stuff. In fact, what did I do? Tell them, what did I do when we got the pie? I ripped up the...
Oh, yeah, you ripped up the paper and you...
I ate it.
You ate the paper, right, because it's all...
I said, and I ripped the paper off the pie that we had, because I tried to eat the pie. I said, well, this is weird. Let me try this. And I ripped the box up and I put it in my mouth. And I said, it tastes just as good as the pie and more fiber. As far as the meat is concerned, I like what Maududi said some years ago when they asked him about Babiha. Because some scholars at his time said, oh, kul bismillah and eat. Even though nobody said bismillah on it, could it come from anywhere? Kul bismillah and eat. Maududi said it really good. He said, can you bring that animal back to life by just saying that? Can you do that? If nobody made Babiha on the animal, you can bring it back just by going bismillah. How do you know it's not roadkill? How do you know where it came from? I worked in slaughterhouses here in this country, okay? One of my many jobs. Kill 150 goats in one day. And I watched how they killed. They killed faster than I did. Not much faster, but a little bit. But with the process they did, I filmed it and I have it on tape. And I sent the tape to Saudi Arabia and other countries. And even though it was clear it wasn't halal, they would not change their fatwa. Why? You figure it out.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. This comes to a conclusion of our program tonight. You've been listening to IslamTomorrow.com, broadcasting live from the campus of The Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. While we have a few questions remaining, we're going to ask that our Sheikh address those questions through the website, askislam@aol.com. Thank you very much for your attentiveness and your sharing with us tonight, and we pray that Allah accept it and that Allah give us all a good end. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa nastaghfiruka wa tubu ilayk.
In just a little while, we'll be broadcasting again from the local masjid here in Ohio, in Columbus, Ohio. So be with us then. This is Yusuf Estes and Mutahhir Sabri reminding you that it's only Allah who guides. So pray to Allah and ask for His guidance. Until next time, Salaam Alaikum Rahmatullah Wa Barakatuh. Give big salams to the folks out here.
Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan. See you soon, inshallah.